Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
And this will be a familiar place in Scripture to go to. A verse that you probably can already quote. It's found in the Ten Commandments. It's number 5. Interesting the way the Ten Commandments are arranged. I don't know if you ever thought about it. It begins with 4 do nots, all related to how we relate to God. Then it has a positive in relating to God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the honor of that day. And then the last 5 are all about how we get along on the level of human experience and human relationships. And it begins with a positive and then concludes with 4 negatives, 4 prohibitions, things we shouldn't do. And the one that begins that second section is found in verse 12, where it simply says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." If you have a place that you're able to see that in front of you, either a Bible or your device, I want you to note those words and pay attention to them. Now, the first thing I notice, it says, "Honor your father and your mother." Well, it's Mother's Day. And I do know Father's Day comes up next month. So if next month the message sounds a little familiar, just act like it's a surprise. No, I won't do that again. We will do something probably different. But I want to just put it in the frame of mothers, but also obviously in the context, this is how we relate to our parents, regardless whether it's father or mother. So we want to understand that. Also, I want you to understand as we get into this that it makes God's really top 10 list, if you want to say it that way. And maybe you'd be surprised that honoring parents, as we focus on honoring moms today, would make it that high in his list. But I think you're going to see as we look into this a little deeper that there's very, very good reasons for that. The sanctity of that, the importance of that, the essentialness of that is so valuable in so many ways to us personally, and in broader ways among all of us. So this verse says this: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. So first of all, the first word we need to understand where it says honor. And by the way, so you'll know, we're not going to take time to turn there, but this command is repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, where a second giving of the law of God is given, including the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy. It's interesting. Exodus is the beginning of that 40-year period when they're leaving Egypt. Deuteronomy is getting them ready toward the end of that 40-year period while they were wandering around the wilderness to go into the promised land, and he repeats it again. Just in case you have forgotten, here it is again. It also finds its way over into the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, where Paul, the apostle, writing to the Ephesian church, and by inspiration writing to all of us, reminds us that this is essential for the family. Now, he gives it in the context of those who are children, not adults honoring parents, although we need to do that, obviously. But he puts it in the context of children honoring their parents, and he includes one additional command that's not here in these because these cover the whole family, all the life stages, where he talks about we are to obey, our children are to obey their parents, and then he gives this command as the scriptural foundation for that. But we need to understand that what this word means, so honor. Excuse me. If you look up in just our regular dictionaries, and I'm doing something a little different today. I usually have some notes in front of me. Sometimes I even pay attention to them. Sometimes maybe not so much. But I usually have them. I'm now at the point when I type them up. When they're typed up, I put them in really big font so I can see them. So I'm using all handwritten notes today. If you've ever seen my handwriting, you know how dicey this is, okay? So we'll see how this goes. But here's the definition you can get from the dictionary. Honor means to regard or treat someone with admiration or respect, or to regard them or to esteem them. All a very interesting definition. We'd all understand that needs to be that admiration, respect factors in there to just put them in a position of honor. However, the word translated honor in Hebrew is a different one. And when I first looked this up and was kind of studying it, I was like, that's interesting. The word literally means to sit heavy. Now that sounds like that's not going to make it on a Hallmark card, do you? Dear Mom, I hope you sit heavy today. Or I'm going to give you my statement about how heavy, no, don't go there. But if you understand the context, it says something that they would have valued. Now, this seems strange to us, okay? Because we live in a culture that really pretty much values thinness and, you know, being physically fit and all that sort of thing. They lived in a culture where food was not quite as abundant as it is now. The variety of food was not like we have. You couldn't take a daily vitamin every day, okay? We didn't have all the advantages that we have. We don't buy boxes of food at the store and it lists all the nutritional components and all that sort of thing. So they didn't have that, didn't have that sort of a diet. So people who were poor were thin. People who were viewed as affluent were not thin. So it was a way of saying, and you find this in Scripture, he talks about the fat or the whatever, it would say, wow, they must be really affluent because they can afford food to be able to eat to the point that they can pack on a few extra pounds. I'm not saying that's necessarily healthy, but that was their concept. So when you looked at somebody heavy, or to say something sits heavy, it connected to that person is affluent, or that thing that sits heavy is valuable. It's significant. You know, and sometimes we even do that in our world today. And I know one of the things when you go to buy a car, you ever shut the car doors and hear how it sounds? You know, if you have one of those, you know, bottom-end cars, it sounds really hollow. If you get a top-end car, it's got that nice to it. It feels like it's got some substance to it. We do that in all sorts of venues of life. He says, in this understanding of honoring your parents, your father and your mother, this concept of who they are and what they meant and how God arranged things to be, this should sit heavy. This should have some weight to it, some value to it, that we look at it in a different way. And may we all just take that to heart in this relationship, and may as we think about our mother and our father, that it would sit heavy on us, that we see the value of it. It's substantial, it's essential, it's critical, it's not optional. And we'll see that in so many ways. So we need to just come to this understanding that the meaning of honor is that which we just put in its place as God puts it in its place. You know, there's something very wrong about if we treat something as not valuable that God treats as valuable, right? Now, next Sunday morning, we're going to gather here and we're going to serve communion. We're going to use the bread and the cup to illustrate the death of Christ and that sort of thing. And I always find that a service has a different tone, a different feel to it. Because we're remembering this significant, this weighty, this heavy reality. And we would not just say, oh, I don't need to do that. That's not important. Let's just don't pay attention to that. Why? Because God says it's valuable. It's weighty. It's significant. So treating something that's weighty to God as something that's light to us puts us out of harmony with God's plans. So he says to us in this regard, he says, think about your parents. This is a weighty thing. This is a significant thing. Put your emphasis on it. So that's what it means in its basic context. And then he adds to it a promise. In Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul describes this verse, he actually spreads it over two verses, but this verse, he says, this is the first commandment with promise. And if you study the Ten Commandments, it's, you know, I have no other gods before me, make no graven image, don't take the Lord's name in vain, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, and then the ones about stealing and adultery and coveting and so forth. All of those things relate to those things that are valuable to him, and we need to treat them as valuable to us. And they all do not include a promise, but this one he says right in the text, one little verse, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, typically, I know where my mind goes when I read that, because we're not thinking about a land as they were leaving one land of Egypt, and they're heading to a new land, a land of promise, right? So they're in that same, they're in this land between these two lands, the land of bondage and all that slavery, and a land of freedom and a land of blessing by God. So we'd like to go to the part that you may live long. And I've heard it described this way. You want to have to live a long life? Honor your father and mother. Probably some parents have used that on their children, maybe. I don't know. Now, I think in general terms, that makes sense. If you're obeying God, he's probably going to maybe extend your life. That's up to him. By the way, how do you measure what a long life is, right? I mean, I don't know where you put that marker. You know, if you get above 80, is that bonus time? Is it if you get to 60, 70, whatever? I don't know. But the key to this passage, understanding the promise, is not to live long. It's what comes after it. Upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Here's the promise. Now that goes back to the land. We first intersect with that land all the way back in Genesis chapter 15. Where God has called Abraham, one of the songs we sang this morning, "O God of Abraham and God of Moses," there, I loved how that pulls that same concepts out and we sing it. He said to Abraham, "I'm going to send you to this land. You're going to make a great family. Your descendants are going to be so numerous you can't count them. And I'm going to give you this land that I've called you to. I'm going to give it to you and your family after you. And in this land, I'm going to bless you because I'm entering into a covenant promise with you that you're going to be my people and I'm going to be your God and we're going to live in covenant with each other." So when he says that you may live long in the land, it's a way of saying you're going to live under the promises of God. You're going to live in a place where you are more, I hope this is accurate, that's the best way I know to say it, that you are more blessable. It puts you in a place where God has more freedom to bless you if you obey this command. If I said to you, "Hey, I've got an address, I got a community that you can live in, and you can go there, and you're just guaranteed this a massive blessing," we'd be as excited as they were to go to this land of promise. Although I don't know where a place you can go to that land is, but I do know this, that if you're walking in obedience to God, and this command is part of that, you put yourself in a place where God is blessing you. And sometimes we really get a little bit nearsighted on the blessings of God in our life, don't we? You know, we have that one thing that's not right, and then everything is bad, right? One person said something, and that just negates 1,000 positive things that people said to you. You know, one criticism wipes out a million compliments. You know, we just get so fastened on that we see. And most of us are just so ridiculously, amazingly, abundantly, generously blessed that we ought to make sure that we focus on that. I said, you want to be in a place of blessing? That you connect with me? And the greatest blessing is not just that God is blessing us. And the greatest blessing is not that we are blessable. The greatest blessing is this blessing connects us in our lives with the God who is our God. That we get to be with Him. That He gets to interact in our life. That He will interact in our life. That we can have this ongoing relationship. And interestingly enough, it kind of swings back to this part of this verse because God is our heavenly what? Father. He fulfills a spiritual parental role. I heard a song yesterday and I meant to look it up. I'd never heard it before. We were at a particular production and they played this song and it was a song that says, "God has no orphans." And I thought, well, duh. And then I'm like, well, wow. All of His children are His children. He doesn't even have any stepchildren. They're all His, connected to spiritual birth. And we have this relationship. So the blessing that obeying this command, the promise that goes with it, it connects us to God who is the blessing and a God who wants to bless, and He enters into this new covenant, as we've studied in Hebrews, with us that we have through Jesus Christ. Now the question is, how do we do that? What do? We honor. We hold our parents, and particularly now focusing on mothers today, we put them in a place of heaviness, a place of weightiness, a place of significance, a place of value because God values it, and we want to value that which God values. What do we receive from it? We receive this promise of a covenantal blessing and that we can experience Him in this life, that we indeed will see His blessing, not just only in eternity, but we can see His blessing in the life that we're now living in spite of the disabilities and the liabilities of living in a sin-soaked world. So how do we do that? I'm going to offer two suggestions, or at least two categories of suggestions that I trust will be of some help to us, okay? So how do we honor? And I just want to give you two statements. I'm not putting anything on the screen. You've got to do it all on your own today. You can remember this or jot it down or whatever. But first of all, how do we honor? How do we hold our parents in the right place with the right weightiness, the right esteem, the right regard? How do we do that? How do we do that function? Number one, find the good and give thanks. Find the good and give thanks. Find the good in that relationship. Moms today, find the good in that. Now, I understand that we all come at this from a variety of points of view. I love the video we just saw a little bit ago. He talks about whether you're remembering, rejoicing, or reflecting today, let's honor our moms. For some of us, it's a memory, because our mom may no longer be with us. Or we're rejoicing. We still have that ability to interact and to send a card to go and do something, be together, whatever that we can do. Or reflecting on our own parenting, our own role in our lives, in our life stage now, and so forth, all right? So in all those things, and I loved how, it also the video had this, and I need to read this because it's too complicated to remember. But here's who we give thanks for, and I say that to all of us as well. It says, we give thanks for the mothers and all the women who were cared for us, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, waiting mothers, single moms, foster moms, stepmoms, friends, mentors, guardians, and guides. You fit in one of those categories? You have some people who fit in that category for you? Excuse me. That's who we honor today. So, find the good and give thanks. Now, I also know that there are some folks in this world that had a very difficult time in their upbringing. Not everybody has a family, and I'm going to date myself because this is 70s, early 80s, okay? Some of you will remember. Not every one of us had a family that looked like the Waltons. Remember the Waltons on TV? Oh, there's grandma and grandpa and mom and dad, and they always knew what to do. And yeah, they were struggling through the Depression, but they were doing it together, and they all loved each other. And they had their little moments of conflict, but they always, by the end of the story, you know, they turn out the lights. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen, the Waltons. Some of us didn't grow up in the Walton home. Some of us grew up in the Simpsons home. You know, or pick some other family you want to pick up, okay? Where it's more dysfunction than function. Some of you maybe had a parent that abandoned you, or maybe in an abusive situation or neglectful situation or emotionally traumatizing situation. I understand that, but you still can find the good. And if you have one of those families where, not perfect, but so much to be thankful for, you may have an easier job of this, of finding the good. But where do you find the good? Well, first of all, let's start with this. Let's start with life. Without your father and mother, you aren't here. Got that? Without your father and mother, whether they were there for you after you were conceived and born, your father and mother gave you life. And somehow, that was part of God's plan, His path, to make you who you are. God, whatever the circumstances of your parentage, whether good, bad, planned, unplanned, whatever it is, God had a hand in bringing that to pass because He, through that reality, made you, you. And the parents that raised you have had an influence on you. I don't know. It's for me in my life, the older I get, the more I see my parents in me. Maybe because I'm the age that they were when I was observing them, and it starts to look familiar. I see this in other people. People I've known over, you know, from my childhood on, I look at them now and say, boy, she looks like her mom. He looks like his dad. They act like him. It's like they've got run through some sort of cloning machine, and they just have become the next generation of almost the same person, or at least traits of it. So they have that influence. We'll talk about that influence in just a little bit more in a moment. So whether they gave you a great start or you had something to overcome in life, you can be thankful because that's the path that God started you on, and God did not abandon you in it. And God will use even the tough stuff, the indifferent stuff, and the gloriously good stuff for His purposes to bring you on. Isn't that what we talk about when we quote from Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. All things, doesn't mean all things are good, but all things can be worked together for good. God can even take the messes and the trauma and somehow put it together so that the outcome could be good if we love Him, if we trust Him. And that even means the trauma of our childhood. And by the way, me as a parent, sometimes I've come to realize that you never get your children raised without inflicting some trauma on them. Because we are sinful people. We make mistakes. We have our, you know, goods and bads, strengths and weaknesses. But it's all part of God's plan. So give thanks for that. Whether they started you on a path to heaven because they were followers of Christ, or whether your family life was to escape the ravages of sin that was evident in your home, or anywhere in between, God has put you there so that you will see His grace, that you will find His presence, that you will follow His path for you, that you will follow the Savior that He's called us to. So what I want to encourage you to do today, now you may be reflecting, remembering, or rejoicing, but whatever that situation is for you, I want you to do this, and I want to do this as well. Find the good and give thanks. Now, I can give thanks if that person is still available to me to give thanks. I can spend some time with them. I can call. I can send the card. I can do whatever. But just to express the thankfulness for that person in my life, if they are no longer available to give thanks, just redirect it to God. That, Lord, that person, for all their flaws, was used of you to do some good in my life. And whatever that is, find the good and give thanks. I'm going to say it one last time. You got to get this plugged away, okay? How do we honor? Why do we? What is honoring? Treat people with the value God puts on them. Number two, we do it because it connects us with God's promises, God's life. That's the why. And the how, find the good and give thanks. That's your job today. That's your job today. And it'll do something, I think, in your heart. I think it'll redirect you in that way. Number two, find a goal and pursue it. Find a goal and pursue it. Find the good and give thanks. Find a goal and pursue it. Well, what is this goal that we pursue? Well, it is, in some ways, we as parents. Now, we talked, you know, that's our parents, okay? Now we're talking about us parenting or us influencing people going forward, even if we're not a parent. Find that goal. What is that goal? We need to pass the torch on to someone else. I know someone that years ago, they got to carry the torch for the Olympics. Is this the Olympic year? Does anyone know? Does anyone care? Okay, that doesn't matter. Let's just suppose that it is. I don't know. But you know how they light the torch in Athens, Greece, and it travels all around, and they'll run with the torch through a city, and it goes, I think, usually all around the world until the big opening ceremonies. They're in this big stadium, and the last person carries it, well, not the last person. Someone carries the torch in, they run around, they pass it on to someone, and there's always this secret. Who's the last person to have to be the torchbearer? And finally, someone has the torch, and they hold it up to that big cauldron thing, and whoosh, and the Olympic flame burns while they do all their games, right? But that passing of that torch, that flame is passed to one person to the other. It's a good metaphor for us. We need to pass on our faith to the generation that follows us. If we fail, we do it at the peril of the people we love the most. So it's our job to pass on that torch of faith. It was probably passed on to someone by you, whether parents or someone else, hopefully through parents. Now, we pass on many things. We pass on our family traditions. That's wonderful. That's good. Keep those things alive. We pass on our family memories. That's a great thing to do. We preserve our thoughts and memories and we cherish them. But we also need to pass on our faith. And you know what? That comes a lot more through living than it does through preaching. Much more through living. How you are living your life. Because you know what? I'll just say this with a little bit of boldness. It's easy to fake it when we're here. Because we're all here. We got our Bibles. We're preaching. We're singing. You know what? You can't fake it when you're at home with your kids and your spouse and your extended family, right? It's unfakeable how we're living with the Lord. And the great news is we are not called to be perfect, but we are called to be making progress as we grow and mature in Christ. So set that as a goal. What do I need to do? I need to take a good look at my life. What am I living for? Am I living for me or my fun or my pleasure? Am I living for the Lord and let that be an influence to those that follow me? Am I faithful to church? Am I serving? Am I being a person that loves in spite of other people's performance? I mean, we talk about the unconditional love of God, that He loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, it says in the Bible. Love unconditionally. There's a grand famine of unconditional love in this world. And if we're honest, there's a great scarcity of unconditional love, even in our own hearts many times. So pass on that love and pass that on. So a life of faithfulness, following, and growing maturity is how we find that as our goal and we pass it on. If you're following Jesus, let others see it and let them know that that's what you're doing. That you are growing. That you never stop growing, never stop learning, never stop working, allowing the Lord to knock off the rough edges. And part of that is just open our hearts and say, Lord, see if there be some wicked way in me. Search my heart, try me, know me. Help me to understand. That's part of what we do next time when we gather for our communion service. Lord, you take a good look inside. And when I find something there that's not right, help me to confess it to you as sin, forsake it, and then, Lord, to claim your power. We love it when we see him make a way and move forward in that. And lastly, that find a goal and preserve it is to hopefully those that come after us, that they will come to a point that they have an encounter with Jesus. That they realize, and this is true for you, maybe this is your moment when you need to have an encounter with Jesus. That you come to that point that you know you're a sinner and can't save yourself. But God gave you a Savior that if we believe in him, you will be saved. If we could help you understand that, share with you what that means, pray with you over it, let one of us know, or maybe a Christian friend or family member you came with could do that. And we need to press that into the generation that follows. For those of you that are parents and those of you that are grandparents or you that are uncles or aunts or influencers or, as we said a moment ago, guardians or guides, maybe you need to start by making sure your children and your grandchildren somewhere along the line hear your story of how you came to faith and the difference that Christ has made in your life. Someday when you're long gone, maybe that memory will still rattle around in the halls of their memories and you can be that person that had that as a goal. That is a goal. Find that goal, and you need to pursue it with all your might. Verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20 says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gave you. Treat your parents, treat your mother with value. Why? Because it connects us to God's promise and God's life. How? We do it by finding the good and giving thanks. We find the goal and we pursue it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this little simple verse with all of its profoundness here in this list of 10. Lord, we thank you for the moms, the stepmoms, the single moms, the grandmothers, the mothers, those that would desire to be a mom, those that are struggle in that area. Lord, for all the families, all the, as it said, the guardians and guides. Lord, we thank you for those in our lives. Help us to remember, help us to honor, help us to find the good and give thanks for that and rejoice in that. And Lord, for our, as we reflect on ourselves, help us, Lord, to truly define the goal of our lives as you would define it and to pursue it with our might while at the same time trusting in your abundant power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.